This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Get the Hillman Morning Show on demand. Podcasts and more are always online and on your schedule at WAAF.com.
Well, we have a guest in the studio who hails from Lexington, Massachusetts. And it's interesting because earlier this morning I was discussing the incident outside the elementary school in Lexington with my vehicle in the mid-80s. And Orny Adams is our guest, comedian, actor, and former Lexington resident.
Well, I slept there last night.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
You went home?
Yes.
You're kidding
of
me.
Of course.
Now, mom and dad?
Yeah.
Okay. Were they
the bedroom I grew up in?
Yeah. Now,
everything's the same.
What part of Lexington do you
near the farm, Wilson Farms.
Okay. Great place, by the way.
Well, it's amazing. Farms. You know, it used to just be like a little farm.
Yeah.
Now it's like, it's beating Whole Foods.
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Lexington used to be a dry town. I don't believe it. It is. It probably was when you were growing up.
Yeah, it was. It was.
How old are you?
I'm older. I'm in my 40s. 48, okay. Yeah.
Oh, you're 48?
Yeah.
Oh, so you're almost the same age as me.
I tried to tell you that, but you didn't believe me.
Well, you look younger than me. Everybody looks younger.
No wife, no kids.
No wife.
This is how you do it.
Oh, yeah.
This is how you do it.
So you might know the girl that I got stuck in the car with, Sarah Becker. They used to call her the Becker. No, they didn't use the car.
Wait a minute.
Who's they?
Not me. You don't know her?
I don't believe so.
What about Karen Murato?
No. I mean, you're a few years older than me, which is like a lifetime.
I'm 4 years older.
That's a lifetime.
I'm 52.
When you're in high school.
Now, some might know you from the popular television show Teen Wolf, which I believe aired on MTV. How many years was that show on?
6 years. We did 100 episodes.
You were the
coach.
The coach.
Based it on, we had Coach Farias, who was our basketball coach in Lexington, would always yell at the students and just berate them. And you'd just sit there and watch. You weren't on the team. You'd show up just to watch him yell. And he'd always go to whistle, but he didn't know how to whistle. Go, shh, shh, like through his lip. And I tried to do that in the pilot episode, but just it wasn't going to work on camera. But it was just so funny because he would fail. Like, we're laughing at this guy failing, but he's not understanding it. So that was the humility I was adding to that character on Teen Wolf.
On Teen Wolf. Bedford Hills, I believe, is the...
Beacon Hills.
Oh, Beacon Hills.
Are we testing to see if this is really me?
Because
there's a chance I wouldn't know that. Like, it was season four before I realized that our team's name were the Cyclones. Like, I didn't even know that.
You were the coach.
I just show up. I didn't even read the scripts.
Yeah.
I didn't even read the scripts. I just read my part and show up and do it. And they thought I was kidding. Like, Orny's so funny, saying he doesn't read the scripts. I didn't read the scripts.
Meanwhile, they just wrote you a check. Did you ever get to talk to the Lexington coach and tell him that the character was based on?
No, I haven't.
Doesn't seem like the guy who was kind of guy who was watching on MTV when it was on.
No. My parents didn't even. My parents, like, they would pretend to watch it.
Yeah.
Like, there was a time I came home and there was an episode that I was on and I was excited to watch. I'd only watch like my. Well, I'd watch.
No, you only
scenes.
Watch your own episodes.
Yeah.
You're a narcissist.
I didn't watch every episode by the end. But there was one I was excited to show my parents. So they said, "Well, let's watch it." So they call up the, you know, it's like season five. They get the DVR. They hit play, and all of a sudden I see characters that haven't been on for a few years, and I'm like, "Well, I don't read the script, so maybe they brought back these characters." And then I realize they haven't recorded the show in years. And they're trying to pass off an old episode as the current episode.
That's the current episode. Well, that's nice that they take pride in you, though.
We just Listen. I can't. We just bought them their second Apple TV. They did something to the first Apple TV that we couldn't even fix.
You're kidding me.
No, they
screwed it up so bad. That
they found the settings.
Is that okay? Yeah.
Like, old people need to just let us set it up and then just leave it alone. Yep. They made the subtitles so big. Like, they did it again last. You couldn't even see the screen. Last night, we were watching something. They made the subtitles. They weren't even on the screen. They were, like, underneath the screen. It was, like, half of it was... It's... So I don't blame them.
Have they ever gone to see you? Did they go watch you do stand-up?
They love it. They are having a party tomorrow.
Yeah.
My mom, I think she rented a bus. It's all the old... I can't call them old. They get angry. But all the old people...
Everybody from Lexington is coming in.
Oh, yes. All my like relatives, family, friends. There's going to be like 100 old people. They're getting together hors d'oeuvres. My mom's... It's catered. I think she thinks it's my wedding. I think it's like the biggest deal. It's so much stress.
So what was your room like?
It had sailboats on the wallpaper growing up. I don't know. Now it's all... My mom last night, she goes, "Did you like the new rug?" Because it's like, we have hardwood floors.
Yeah.
She gets this exact same rug we had before. There's no difference. She just bought the same style, the same, you know. It's nuts. But I love, we were talking about it before. I love Boston. This is my roots. This is where I started doing comedy back when there were Stitches and Nick's and Comedy Connection.
Ding Ho.
Before my time, Ding Ho.
Before your time, okay.
I never, but those were the comics that influenced me. If you watch my comedy, it's very Lenny Clark, it's Don Gavin, Sweeney, like fast talking, you know, get it all in fast type of comedy before they get up and leave or punch you.
Yeah.
Because we were talking about that, like Boston people, you got to deliver fast or there's trouble.
Yeah. Well, I think if you looked at cities that are responsible for a lot of successful comedians, Boston has to be at the top of the list.
Absolutely. There's no question.
Dennis Leary, Lenny, Steve Sweeney, you mentioned Don Gavin. I mean, there's Kenny Rogerson. There's just and I think you're right. It's probably because everybody around here is a jerk. I mean, that's really what.
When we were talking about, I was at the World Series. This is, I like to announce that I was at the fifth game of the World Series.
You live in L.A. now?
I live in L.A.
Okay.
But I feel this goes on my Boston credibility card that I was there for a World Series win.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I was so excited. I was like posting pictures of me like cheering. And it's still not enough for Boston people because they're posting underneath it. Is that a Red Sox t-shirt? Because I just wore a regular t-shirt because I didn't want to get punched or anything. But I still wasn't Boston enough.
But what were the fans like?
This is what's amazing. It was my proudest moment as someone from, I think from Boston. I think I almost cried. It's like the seventh inning. It's pretty clear Boston's winning the World Series. It's over. It's over, right? So all the Boston fans were in Dodgers Stadium, in another city, about to beat the Dodgers and become the world champions. And all the Boston fans start chanting, "Yankee suck. Yankee suck."
Right.
And I almost got a tear. I go, "What? This is what makes Boston great. It doesn't. We're about to win the World Series. We still got a grudge to settle."
Right.
We got a grudge to settle. And I realized Boston fans will chant that anywhere. Yeah. I've been at funerals where they just start chanting, "Yankee suck."
Yeah. I mean, are there any Chargers fans? It seems like you look at, you know, one of the things that they say about the Chargers is that it's not going to matter that they're playing an away game, that they're at Gillette on Sunday, because their home games are like away games anyway, because there just aren't a lot of fans.
Yeah.
I mean, is that like?
I went to one game. It was like an hour and a half away, and it was in a high school stadium or something.
Yeah,
if I remember correctly.
Yeah. So it's not like
I'm not. Listen, I had to be escorted out of the Staples Center at a Celtics game during one of the remember the last championship when Ray Allen broke the 3-point record. I was there. I was wearing Celtics gear and they had to escort me. And I was in the mayor's, David Arquette. You know David Arquette?
Yeah. He almost died recently in a wrestling match.
Is that true or is it all staged?
Well, I don't know. It might be staged. Why? Yeah. Is wrestling fake?
What?
That might be. Yeah, that might have been. No, I saw they have the pictures with the blood in it. Some guy got him with a glass, like around the neck or the glass bottle or something.
He's lost his mind.
Yeah, yeah.
He has lost his mind.
Yeah.
He
You were with him?
I was with him. He brought me to a game. He dressed up as Purple Elvis.
Yeah.
And I was wearing green. I was next to Neil Diamond.
Really?
Was sitting next to me. And his son, who was probably 12, kept taunting me, and I'd taunt him back. You know, good fun.
Yeah.
And Neil was like, you know, shh. Like, he was so disgusted that there was, there was anything fun going on or something. I don't even know. But I had to be escorted out, and I looked at Dave. Dave, actually, he told this story on Jimmy Kimmel that night. I said, I'm afraid. He goes, I'm afraid for you. And then he, like, left. And the police had to, like, get me out of there safely to the car. So that's why, if anybody's wondering, and I'm not going to say who, but somebody pretty big in Boston texted me and said, nice Red Sox shirt. That's
who was why it? Why don't you just say who it was?
I don't want to say, because they're like a...
You're afraid.
I'm afraid.
You're afraid?
I can tell. You're sweating.
You're I'm barely at the Wilbur. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not hard sold out. I'm not three. Adding another show.
All right,
like,
let's.
We're moving another section. Oh, let me just now for sales.
Let me.
So I'm not. What, I'm going to ruin it by. why don't I just make fun of MyPillow.com and never be invited back here?
Have you tried MyPillow? Just give it a try.
I'd like to announce I have a coupon code for MyPillow.com.
Yes, you do.
I want to compete with yours.
I'm going to give you one as a parting gift on your way
to
out.
Try one.
You can sleep on it on your mom's couch when you go back to Lexington. All right, our guest is Orny Adams, and he's at the Wilbur tomorrow. Tickets are available when you go to thewilbur.com. That's thewilbur.com. I did want to ask, as a comedian, what do you think of the return set from Louis C.K. and the controversy over that?
You know, it's interesting because I think about this a lot, and I watch what other people say about it, and I sort of study it. And I'm actually fascinated by people that have these opinions, and they're so confident. I've been doing comedy over 25 years, and I'm not even confident enough to be an expert to say what's right and what's wrong. Yeah. Like, I just...
Well, isn't that kind of like the era that we're living in, where everybody is an expert on everything?
Yes.
And they,
because of the internet.
It's
because they have been given the platform of their own social media channel.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have now become, they are now consider themselves to be experts on everything. But so you wouldn't even say right or wrong.
Well, how can you?
I mean, not inappropriate. Like, how can you say that?
Because I'm not confident. I've been studying comedy since. I mean, I used to go to the Boston Public Library and check out books that hadn't been checked out since like the 20s. I kept the little cards that used to go inside the book. So I love comedy and I study comedy, but I don't feel confident enough to really weigh in. I mean, like, there's controversy, and then my comedy is like, it's over here. It's on the other side of. You know, I'm talking about my ceiling fan and my dishwashers and, you know, like before this whole like transgender gender discussion, I'm not even too sure I knew what a pronoun was. Like, I'm just happy I learned something. Like, I'm over like there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think it's interesting. I mean, it seemed like the leaked set was what he was before. And now suddenly people are shocked that he's not what he was before, comedy-wise.
I think it might have
like
to,
material-wise.
I think it might be because they thought it was a joke before.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Well, you know? Yeah, maybe.
And maybe it's not so much a joke, some of the stuff he talks about it. But that if it's not real, though, then why, you know, that's part of the success,
comedy.
Right? It's comedy.
That's the problem.
Stand-up comedy. There's got to be some reality to it. That's the awkwardness that makes us laugh.
But is it hard to do stand-up now because you have to be, are you like worried about every little tiny frigging thing that comes out of your mouth?
Yeah, unfortunately you do have to overthink things that you didn't before. And I really do believe comedy should push at least discussions without being insensitive.
Right.
So it is tragic in that sense that and I don't think people are really saying, hey, what did you mean? Did you mean to be hurtful? Did you mean to upset this community? Like,
intent.
Like,
what is your intent?
Say dumb things. I'm telling you, if I get in trouble for saying something dumb, it was not intentional. I wasn't thinking for a second. I said something, and we all say dumb things. And so you should be forgiven for that. Now, that's very different than if you're sexually harassing people.
Yeah.
And saying things that you shouldn't say.
Right.
I don't feel... See, my comedy, I designed it. I know I'm not wholesome, but I did it because I wanted to show how people are more common than or more aligned than not. Like, we're all human. I was in Pittsburgh, Kansas last month, and there were guys in overalls. I've never lived in a city where they even sell overalls. Like, if I wanted to dress up as them for Halloween, I'd have to go on, like Kansas.com and, and order the overalls.
And get the overalls, to me,
it's and they love the show. These people stood up. They gave me a standing ovation. And I'm looking at these dumb overalls thinking, there's nothing sexy. Like, is this guy going to get, well, I'm going to give it to you all night later, honey, as soon as I unhook my overall. The thing is that we're all the same. We're more common. We got more. And so I don't divide the audience. I don't go, politically, I'm here. I'm going to say this and make you uncomfortable. I want everybody to feel comfortable in the audience.
So since you studied when you were young, you studied comedy. If you had to say the three funniest comedians of all time.
For me?
Yeah.
Well, one of them, unfortunately, is on the sort of list that you can't mention anymore.
Who's that?
Well, let's start with the ones that absolutely, you know, George Carlin.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Sam Kinison.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And then for writing, Woody Allen.
Oh,
and
yeah.
His stand-up comedy was amazing, and now it's just like it turns out he's a creep, and now I can't mention him.
Yeah.
So take that off the list.
No, I think you can. That's the problem.
Somebody's moved up. We've got somebody has now taken the third spot.
No, you can. You should be able to, right? You should be able to say that.
Steve Martin. I'm putting Steve Martin.
You are?
No, Steve. His.
I like Steve Martin, but I mean, I don't know. I never thought he was, like, gut laugh hilarious.
There was a goofiness to him that resonated with me. The minute I opened that album and he's got the white suit on, and then there's a fish coming out of his pocket that says "Best Fishes."
Yeah,
I mean, how absurd!
Cat juggling.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes,
come
yes,
on.
Yes.
I mean, Eddie Murphy. Eddie Murphy really shaped. You know, my comedy, but I pull a lot from music. Bob Dylan. Bob Dylan shaped a lot of my comedy, the way he would write, the way he would change verses. He would be sort of intense. Then he would be, you know, not intense, you know, like fast, slow, angry. He changed he's to she's. He was always with wordplay. He'd make up words to make it rhythmically work. And I was always into comedy like that. You know, I remember discussing with like Gary Shandling and a bunch of other comics. I had a joke where I would say he shot his attorney. If I said he shot his lawyer, it didn't get the laugh. Attorney got a laugh.
Got the laugh.
And we would sit around and just discuss this.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Why is that scientifically? Because there is a science behind comedy.
Now, is the very important question, is the Italian place downtown Lexington still open?
Mario's. This is a quiz, isn't it? This is how I test if people are really from Boston.
Yeah.
I say, say Woburn. Right, I'll even say it for them, and they can't say
people
it.
People say Woburn.
Yeah, they got it wrong. That's it.
And what about Yangtze River?
Yangtze River, I think, is gone.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, I think the river dried up too soon.
That's
a shame.
Boy, you spent a lot of... You were trolling our women, weren't you?
What
town are you from?
Stowe. Right down the road.
What's so funny was when I was in the other room and I could just hear you, I thought you were Casey Affleck. You've got the same
kind of, really?
Yeah.
Do I look like Casey Affleck?
No, you're much better looking.
Thank you.
I mean.
That's why I was able to.
Why would you even ask?
That's why I was able to nail all of the Lexington chicks.
Oh. Could you just say, Chuck, I had a double burger real quick?
You know, what's that movie that he's in where the kids all die in the fire at the end?
Manchester
by the Sea. Okay, yes. All right, well, show tomorrow night.
Yes.
Really nice to meet you. And you can get tickets when you go to the Wilbur.com to go see Orny Adams.
Don't buy them on, they're like people reselling them at obscene amounts of money.
Probably your parents.
Probably is your parents. At OrnyAdams.com. Free MyPillow for everybody who...
Oh, if you show up tomorrow night, you get a free MyPillow?
Yes. I'm going to start that promotion if we can get them quick enough.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.